Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation Taipei. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. Please check our site at everynationtaipei.com. Enjoy the message.
Good morning. My name is Jackie, and this is my wife, Lisa. We are from Every Nation in Xiamen. And it's so nice to worship with you all this morning in such a beautiful place. You can introduce yourself.
Yes, my name is Lisa, and I was born in Indonesia, actually, Indonesian Chinese. But when I was small, I went to school in Singapore and then Canada. And then when I came to China 19 years ago, that's the time when I started to seek the Lord. And so I got saved in Every Nation Xiamen 17 years ago. And little did I realize that I would be married to a Chinese pastor. He is 100% made in China. So he'll tell you the story of our churches in China.
This is our 22 years of Every Nation in China. And 22 years ago, Pastor Casey and Pastor Hope arrived in Guangzhou and started our Guangzhou church. And I'm going to show you some photos, very old photos, if you can recognize where's Pastor Hope. Okay, and Pastor Casey, yes. And this is another old photos. Yeah, just several pictures from long, long time ago. Yes, this is in Shanghai, 2003. And this is our first Every Nation China conference in Shenzhen. Yes, we have another one. Yes, this I was so tired and don't do the job in.
Yeah, I'm very good in the stocking up on the old photos.
So when I run out of my English, Chinese will come out. So I have a helper. And so these are some photos that when we have meetings in different cities. So for the past 22 years, we've been meeting in Beijing, Shanghai, Hangzhou, Xiamen, Guangzhou, Shenzhen. I don't know if you're familiar with these cities. These are some of the major cities in China. So we are spread out in different cities, and we get together once or twice a year. And this is when we lay hands and pray for China. And so the heart for China put us together. And every time we get together, we pray together for China. And we want to really take this time to honor Pastor Casey and Pastor Hope. They have stay in China for about 10 years. And then after that, they keep flying back to China and join our conferences, visiting us. In fact, next month, they will lead a team to Xiamen. So we are very excited for that. And so next few photos, next few slides, we're going to introduce a little bit of our Xiamen Church. In Xiamen, we call Xiamen Cheng Guang Jiao Hui. Little translation is Xiamen City Light Church. So we are part of Every Nation. That's our local name. And so in the next 10 minutes, I'm going to talk about 20 years of history of our church. So 1999 until 2003 is our first stage. Maybe just keep going with the slides. Yes. So this one missionary came to our city. His name is Pastor Gio. Came from the Philippines. Yeah. Mabuhay. Okay. So I was reached out to a Filipino pastor. And when he arrived in Xiamen, he doesn't speak Chinese. And then he shared with me the gospel. And I have to ask him, okay, how do you spell Jesus? I have no idea what he was talking about. And so when he visited our house, if you can see behind me, this some of the idols that we worship at that time. They have Guanyin, Tu Di Gong, I think in Taiwan, you know, they also have a lot of this, and yeah. So this is the picture of when they arrive, and then several months later, this is my baptism, and I was 20 years old. That was 20 years ago. Wow, time flies, and you can talk a little bit about this.
This is my baptism 17 years ago. At that time, you know, we didn't have a big facility, so it was just in an apartment, and the baptism pool is just a bathtub. So that's where I got baptized.
Yeah, so our church is a small room. So this size church for us is huge. It's a mega church. Yeah. So this is where we meet, in 40 square meter, probably, about 40 square meter living room. So that's the house church or underground church. So that's the from 2003 to around 1999 to 2003, and at the year 2003, our pastor leave China. So at the age of 24, I began to pastor the church until now. So it's been almost 16 years. So let's go to the second phase. Just quickly some of the pictures.
Yeah, then we started to reach out to some local students. And at that time, he started to pastor the church. Let's go to the next slide. And then we moved to a bigger location. We took a step of faith from a 40 square meter living room. We rented an old factory, and we renovated it, yes, from a very bad looking to a very quite nice factory. Yes, this was the construction. That's right. Yes, we just keep going. So it took a lot of work to turn this old factory, a vacant factory, to a nice church facility. And then the next picture. Oh, yes, and then so we enter the third phase. So once we took that step of faith to move to a bigger facility, then we got more people, more strength, then we entered the next phase of church planting. Now, this phase was also accompanied by moving to an even larger facility. The reason being was the old facility, the owner was going to raise the rent, so we were kind of forced to move. But you know, God is amazing. Actually, every challenge is an open door for a bigger opportunity. So we moved to an even bigger facility in 2014. And by 2018, from one location, then we had three. Yeah, now 2019, now we have nine congregations. This number is last year, 2018. And from 92 church members, now we have almost 600 church members. So it's been amazing, yes. The next slide, please. So 2003, that was the 40 square meter apartment. And then the next one. And then 2014, the first bigger facility that we have. And then the next one. And then this is now the one that we have now. It's a huge facility. Now we have, on this first floor, we have like 700 square meters. And then the next few slides are the church plants. So 2015 is Haitang church plant. Next one, Jimei church plant 2016. And then 2017, Xiang'an church plant. And then the next one, yes. And then so from last year until the next few years, we're moving to the fourth phase, which is we got a vision from the Lord of seven churches in 7 years. So last year, 2018, then we got church number five. We call it Xiahe Church. And then 2019, this year, just last month, we launched our sixth congregation in Huli. And so up to now, we have already six established congregations, and we have three ongoing church plants.
One of which is going to be launched next month.
Yes, the number seven will be launched next month. And in 2018, December, our church number three, Jimei Church, was persecuted. The police came. We had pressures to close that facility, so we closed it down. But again, every challenge is actually a blessing. So when that facility was closed down, then we were forced to move to a new location. And the old location was actually also kind of like an old factory. And then now we moved to a CBD. It's a very nice facility with 8 elevators going to the church. Yeah, so we get to heaven a bit closer. And this is the moving of that church number 3 to the new location. Yes.
Yeah. Just to give you a background, starting last year, February, there's a new religious regulation in China that is taking effect. So 9 of our Every Nation churches across China were closed. Well, the facility were closed. So you heard about, you know, the things is going on in China. So actually, this supposed to be not the good time to do church planting because everybody's closing churches. But we felt from the Lord that we need to stay faithful in a challenging time, in a difficult time. And so this is the congregation that was, the facility was about 500 square meters. We rent the whole floor. We spent about 300,000 yuan to renovate everything. And after 2 years, they want to shut it down. And so we pray, we fast and we pray. And so from this congregation, it becomes 3 congregations. So every persecution comes, it's time to do church planting.
Yes, and in 2018, yes, this is the 7th church, the one that we will launch next month. And it's amazing also how this church got the new location. So this church was birthed out of persecution also. Our 4th church, the location was also closed down by the police. But out of that church, then this new church plant comes. So there's a businessman in our congregation who said, I will donate my villa. He has a new villa, not renovated yet. So he donated the whole villa for the church, and he even gave money for the renovation according to our needs. So the basement will be for the church meeting, and then second floor will be for the kids' church and everything. So it's under renovation right now.
So it's really underground church now because it's the basement. Will meet
the car garage actually. Yeah, we were turning it into
it into a church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're experiencing a lot of challenges, but a lot of amazing testimonies. So these are the location of the congregations that we have in Xiamen. We basically have a dream of 7-Eleven church. You know, you have 7-Eleven at every corner. So you want, in our city, every 15 minutes.
So some people say, I have a friend in Xiamen, don't know if it's close to your church. For sure it's close to our church. Yeah. It's close to one of our churches. Yeah. So we want the church to be very reachable to people who live in our city.
Yeah, so let's go to the next slide. So this is our Xiamen church in 2014. That's when we had a very, very big breakthrough. And we find that a church is just like a baby, you know, when it was born in year 2000, it was still a baby. It took a long time to grow.
Yeah, yeah. Can you go to the next slide? So from 90 members, in the 2014, this year we have over 90 small group leaders. So in a matter of 5 years, so God has been doing amazing work in our midst in the past 5 years. And let me talk a little bit about the China vision. Can you go to the next slide? So just now I talked about Xiamen, but this is the picture for the whole China. We have a dream to reach out to many cities in China. So far, we have 31 congregations in across over 10 cities in China with around 370 small groups all across the nation. And last year, we have around 350 baptisms across China. So the next one is Wuhan, which is our new church plants.
Yeah, so Wuhan is the first city from this 2031 vision. We already have 10 existing churches in mainland China, and this is the 11th. And we have local missionaries. And so this couple, and this was the the church being launched last year. Yeah, let's continue. Yeah, this couple here from our city, actually, this missionary. Okay.
So this is the last one. Sorry. The last one. Yeah, this one. This is just to show you a picture of our campus ministry.
Yeah. Sorry, this is not Ian Wuhan. Yeah, this is our campus conference.
Yeah, Ian campus conference. One of the conference. So we have... We gather the young people from all across China, and this is one of the conference that was held in our city. And so we not only we do church plans, we want to reach out to young people so that we can raise the next generations of pastors and leaders and to plant more churches.
This one is also not Ian Wuhan. This is our many churches in China, the EN churches in China. We had a conference last month, and yes, actually we look very happy, but everything that we do, actually we depend on God daily, because even having this kind of meetings, we don't know whether it can be carried out or
so
not.
Our last meeting in Beijing last minute was canceled, so everybody booked their tickets. So the previous picture, when on the day three when it's done, we were so happy because hey, you know, we successfully have the conference again. Yeah.
And these are photos of the 31 existing pastors and missionaries in China right now. Yes, let's continue. Yes, and these are the wives of those 31 pastors and missionaries.
Okay, the last slide. Yeah, so one soul is worth more than the whole world. So that's our belief, that's our conviction, that's our heart. Sometimes looking at those pictures, you know, it's a lot of work, a lot of traveling, a lot of, I've been traveling so much I travel every month to Guangzhou for the past few months and to Beijing, Shanghai. So why we want to do all this? Because saving one soul, you know, the value of that one soul is more than the whole world. And so it's a lot of sacrifice, a lot of giving, a lot of prayers, a lot of fasting, a lot of training. And so I believe it was the vision that Pastor Casey and Pastor Hope, when they leave the U.S. and come to mainland China, that's what they want to see. And today we bring the report. Hopefully we encourage all of you. And thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to share.
Thank you all for sharing. That was great to hear what's going on there in China. Thanks for encouraging us. And today is Palm Sunday, and Bertina is going to come up and share more about what's on her heart. So please welcome Bertina.
There's a mic over here already. It's okay. Hang on, we're still getting situated, like I said last time. Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing? Good. It's good to see you all here. I'm really excited to share with you today, and I just want to thank Pastor Jackie and Lisa again for sharing from China. Every time I listen to it, I'm like, okay, keep it together. I don't know what it is about, you know, hearing about China or even, you know, places that Christians are persecuted every day, but it does something, you know, in us, I think, when we're in a place that's open and more free to be mindful, you know, of the gospel and what other Christians are enduring in different places in the world. So thank you for sharing with us. And also, I hope that is encouraging, because we are all part of the global movement of every nation that's around the world. You know, we have our brothers and sisters from Victory Malate and others that have come from different parts of the world. And so it's a gift to be a part of this global movement here. So as Brandon mentioned, and if you don't know already, today is Palm Sunday. And I'm going to be sharing about this day and its significance. Traditionally, you know, Palm Sunday, on Palm Sunday, the church, it marks Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem for the last week of his life. And for me, growing up in the Catholic Church, I mostly just remember receiving palm leaves at church, anybody else, and they just like gave us palm leaves, sometimes in the shape of, you know, a cross, and we take it home and it lasts for a long time, and that was kind of the end of it for me, at least. I didn't really truly understand the significance of this day, this moment in the life of Jesus, but I think it's so much more than palm leaves, right? So much more than this donkey that Jesus rides on into the city. And so we're going to see in the text today that it's in these final days of Jesus' ministry where he openly declares who he is as the Messiah, and he deliberately fulfills prophecies from the Old Testament, and he performs these miracles that really demonstrate his authority as a king. As the king. And so really my hope for us today is that simply that we'll admire Jesus and love him more as we reflect on the significance of this day and the start of Holy Week leading up to Good Friday and of course Easter next week. So let me just pray for us as we start. God, I just thank you so much that you're here in this place, and I thank you, God, that we have this opportunity to gather together in hearing and the preaching of the word, and I ask that you would just fill my mouth with your words, God, and help us to just have hearing ears, open eyes, and hearts that are open to receive and respond to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we start with the text from Luke, all four of the Gospels share about this event called the Triumphal Entry, but I'm going to focus more on Luke today and a little bit from Matthew. And it starts with Jesus coming in on this intense scene. So I just want you to kind of visualize this. There's all these masses of people coming to Jerusalem for this pilgrimage because it's this Passover time. And there's crowds awaiting Jesus' arrival, right? And there's people putting down palm branches and throwing their clothes, their cloaks, their garments upon the floor, like this red carpet, as he passes by on the donkey. And so I really want us to look at today how Jesus is sovereign as the rightful king, as the victorious king, and as a gentle king, and consider how the varied responses of the people in the crowd towards Jesus are significant for us today. So from Luke 19, it reads, "And when he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, 'Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it, you shall say this: the Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent away and found, went away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.' And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road." I'm going to stop there for a second. Perhaps at first glance of these passages, you may think, okay, there's nothing special really going on here about the disciples going to get this donkey, right? And Jesus asks for it, they're going to go do it, and he sits on it, and he rides into town. So what? You know, what's this whole big deal about a donkey? But in actuality, it's really significant because this took place to fulfill the prophecy that Zechariah had spoken in the Old Testament. And he said in Zechariah 9:9, "Daughter of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Now, in some of the other gospels, they quote this this greeting, this prophecy, and it shows that this donkey that was prepared for Jesus, it was significant because it had never been ridden before, and the Jewish tradition back in that time was that no one could use the animal on which a king rides. And so this was the fulfillment of this prophecy in great detail here. And it's set apart, right? It's consecrated and for this specific use of Jesus to ride into town on it. And by his actions, Jesus, when he's on this donkey, he's saying, "Behold, I'm your king that is coming to you." And so the Jews of the time, if they knew their Bibles, which they did, many people in the crowd would have remembered the prophecy that Zechariah spoke. And they recognized what Jesus was doing by mounting this donkey and riding into town as he did. And so they're making this connection, right? Here's this king coming. And there we go. When they saw Jesus riding on the colt or the donkey, they said, "Hosanna to the Son of David." In any case, by using this title, they were acclaiming Jesus to be their rightful king, and they recognized that he had come in the name of the Lord, just as Zechariah had prophesied. And so, as was the ancient custom, they threw down their garments, right? And can you imagine, like, a red carpet? Like, if anyone has watched an award show, right, people are strutting down the red carpet. But here, they're laying down these branches. They're laying down their own garments here as this red carpet, like a royal, regal procession, right? And I believe today, as followers and lovers of Jesus, we do the same thing, but it's not, you know, our cloaks or our leaves, but it's our hearts, right? Our will surrendered to him and just laying it down before him and asking Jesus to govern everything we think or what we do and say. And so I want us to just think about, you know, this question, you know, does Jesus sit on the throne of your heart, of your life today? Does he have the rightful place in your heart? Or have you made a resolve to kind of take things in your own way and take matters into your own situation or try to go to this or that for help? And I just want to encourage us to invite Jesus in, you know, wherever you may be in your relationship with him, invite him in and ask for his help, because as we're going to see, the praises and the cries that the people are shouting to him, it's a prayer, but it's also a cry for a savior. And last month, you know, I shared a couple weeks back on how I had dealt with or how I had struggled with a lot of fear and shame, and that kind of dictated my Christian life for a long time, right? And that was kind of the way I lived my life, and I felt like I had to take everything into my own hands because of that. Like, I couldn't be myself, but I had to continue, right, to go to Jesus about it. I had to continue to ask him for help, and Jesus just arrives unexpectedly, you know, when we can just turn to him. And I think that's what he does, you know, even in this situation. He comes unexpectedly because the people are expecting this powerful king, right? But he comes in on this donkey. And he's just saying, you know, he's more than willing to be king. He's more than willing to be help for you, even today, if you allow him to enter in. So as we continue, it says in verse 37, "As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees, the religious rulers of the time in the crowd, said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out.'" So again, imagine this, right? The whole crowd of people, they are shouting and praising God for all the mighty works, all the miracles that he had done unto this point, right? If you have read any of the Gospels, Jesus had been healing the blind, opening deaf ears, casting out demons, and he had just even raised Lazarus from the dead prior to this. And it's kind of hard to think of anything close to this in contemporary times, this scene, but I kind of think of a live sports event or a concert. Have any of you been to a live concert or a sporting event before? Yeah, some of you. And, you know, at a live concert, right, before even the band goes on, there's like the shouting going on. People are getting amped up, you know, as the band takes the stage. And back in high school or college, like, I went to a lot of concerts, right? And I remember just even before the band plays a note or they come out, there's already people like screaming and like losing their mind, right? And just going nuts before anything happens. There's all this hype. And even at a sporting game, if you've ever been to one here or back in the country that you're from, like, maybe your team makes a great play, or you know, your team's like really crushing their opponents, right? And so you're out of your seat and you're like shouting at the top of your lungs and you're like, go! And you think like your shouting is like actually the reason why they're winning, right? And even though they can't hear you, but from Philly, where I'm from, they're like diehard sports fans, and they will, again, like lose their mind to just root on their team. And so you see, like, you know, people just all painted up, or they're in their Eagles or Phillies or whatever gear that they have to just really support and, like, show them, okay, we're here for our team, for the people we're rooting for. And so I think that's probably, like, the most contemporary example you can get to something like this, that we're talking about Jesus coming in as the rightful king and as this victorious king. And so here at this grand event, the crowds go before him, and they also follow him. And they're shouting, Hosanna, the son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Like I said, it's a praise, but it's also this cry. Because Hosanna, it means save, save now, rescue us now. And the people, they wanted to be saved. They needed a deliverer from the political oppression from Rome. And they were recognizing Jesus was coming in, right? But they wanted this immediate deliverance. They wanted to be done with the suffering and the oppression that they had been feeling. And so their cry, this prayer, is also from an Old Testament, from Psalms, where it says in Psalm 118, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And then a little further down in verse 26, it says, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. And they're giving thanks to God. They're praising him. They're saying, you're my God. I'm going to exalt you. I give thanks for you, God, for your good. Your love endures forever. And so the people anticipated that their Messiah was going to use his might, right, and his kingly authority to wipe out their enemies once and for all. And so they expected this political deliverance. And he entered through the gates to take his place, right? But Jesus had this whole other battle plan for victory. And it's one that God had planned long, 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 long ago. And so we see here the people, they desired, right, for their expectation to be fulfilled, that they would be immediately saved, immediately delivered from their circumstances. But today, this triumphant entry into Jerusalem, it really marked Jesus's journey to the cross for this week that we're going to be reflecting and celebrating. You know, he has this triumphant entry, and then just 5 days later, he is going to the cross, right? He would endure a lot of betrayal, mockery, ridicule, humiliation. He would endure scourging and even abandonment from his own friends. And ultimately on the cross, just taking on the sins of the world and the wrath of God at the cross. So we can see here this contrast, right? The people expected, okay, this king is going to come in mighty and he's going to deliver us right now. But Jesus, he came for so much more than that. He came to give his life as an atonement for sin. And the salvation he offers, he is the deliverance from sin, from death, from the eternal wrath of God. And maybe I'm preaching to the choir today, but, you know, I want us to just consider what his gift of salvation is, and how we can identify even with this crowd who is cheering him on and praising him one day, and then just a few days later, they're the same crowd that's telling everyone to crucify him, and he meets this betrayal, right? And so we're all those people that are in need of this Savior. So it's not always, it's not just this triumphal entry for everybody, right? These we see in a few verses down that the religious leaders, the Pharisees, they tell Jesus, you know, the crowd is getting way too out of hand. This is excessive. You know, you need to tell them to be quiet. Rebuke your disciples. They're getting too zealous. You know, tell them to be quiet. Teacher, rebuke your disciples. And so these leaders ask that this demonstration would just stop and that they just need to calm down, right? And it's interesting, I think, and ironic that if you notice Jesus' response, he says, if they keep quiet, the stones are going to cry out. He can't silence his disciples, because if he did, then creation itself would cry out instead. And so even inanimate objects, creation, if people weren't praising God, then he would have rocks and creation around shout his praises instead. And so, I mean, for us today, you know, if we choose not to praise God, then he's going to get the glory elsewhere, and we won't have the joy of praising him, of telling him who he is and honoring him, right? I think of the song by Hillsong, So Will I, where it just talks about, you know, if creation sings your praises, so will I. If the rocks cry out in silence, so will I, right? And so we're going to sing 100 billion times, even as creation lifts you higher, like, I'm gonna also praise you. So let's go back to the whole donkey thing with prophecy that Zechariah spoke, right, to see how Jesus is also a gentle king. Even as he's a rightful king, he's victorious in that way, but he's also a gentle king. And gentleness is one of the things that are mentioned as Jesus is coming in on the donkey. He says, see, your king comes to you. And I don't know if you know this, but it actually symbolizes gentleness humility as opposed to someone riding in on a horse. Back in those times, if someone rode in on a horse, it would mean that they were coming in to like battle, like it was like wartime. But the fact that Jesus came in as a donkey, it meant that he was coming humbly and lowly and making peace. And I think it's fascinating that Zechariah, he prophesied this, that Jesus was going to come as this gentle king, riding this young donkey. And it's the same king that's going to come at the end of time, you know, on a white stallion on this horse to conquer the nations and ultimately to bring peace at the end of the Bible, where it says in Revelation that he's going to come as faithful and true and as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But today on Palm Sunday, he comes on a donkey just to meet with us and to come in and speak peace. And I believe really that he wants to come and just speak peace to us today and share that word. All throughout the Bible, he reveals himself as someone who we can lean into and rest in. Says in Matthew, I don't have this up there, he says, come to me for those who are tired and weary and burdened, right? And I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. You'll find rest for your souls. And Paul describes Jesus that we're to have that meekness and gentleness of Christ as believers. So even in Galatians, it talks about the gentleness as being a fruit of the Spirit, right? And so we have this gentle, humble king who comes to us and meets with us in our hearts. And I'm not sure what you came into church with today, but I really believe that we can trust in a king who comes to us, you know, in the way that Jesus does, even if it's unexpectedly, but he comes to really speak a peace and a blessing in our lives. So I just want to stop there for a second, but then consider like the different responses that Jesus is getting, right? There's people that are shouting praises to him, and then there's these religious leaders that are telling them to just, you know, be quiet, you know, like just because they're threatened by who Jesus is. And then we see how Jesus' gentleness is communicated even towards the end of this passage when he's drawing near to the city. It says that Jesus weeps over Jerusalem. And He tells the people, even you had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. So peace in Jesus wasn't the king that they expected that was gonna war against Rome, right? It was a king that would offer them peace with God, and Jesus could see that their desire to have this earthly king would be their total destruction. If they had received just salvation that Jesus offered for them that day, then they would have not revolted against Rome and then been destroyed. Yeah, I want to stop and see and ask if you think, you know, just Jesus weep for you this morning because he sees perhaps your choice to try to find peace in something else other than him and his life. And maybe those other things are reaping harm or even destruction in your life because it's not him. And I feel like he just wants to gather you into his arms, like, as we admire him coming into Jerusalem on this day, just know that like he comes to meet with us and to gather us in as Savior, as King. And so I want to encourage us to receive his peace today, whatever that may look like to you, and recognize that God, our Creator, he knows what's really going to truly fill your life. And any emptiness that you may have in your heart. It's not the things that he made or the things that we go to around us, but it's his very life. And so how do you respond to Jesus in this crowd, you know, as rightful king, as victorious king, as a gentle king? Just the same thing I was saying earlier, like the voice of the crowd, right? It can't be trusted because even at sporting events, right? Like one minute the crowd is cheering for their main player, but then the next moment when he makes a bad play, they're like booing him, right? It's just really all over the place. And crowds have a short-term memory, but they're usually asking, you know, what have you done for me? And that very thing, that same thing happened to Jesus, right? The same voices that shouted, Hosanna, praise you, were the same voices that said, crucify him on Friday and give us Barabbas instead because Jesus didn't do what they wanted him to do. They wanted him to fulfill their expectations and not really be Lord of their life. And so, you know, where do you stand with Jesus even today as King, as Lord? Are you surrendered to him or do you expect him to fulfill your will or your expectations? I think one way in response to Jesus today is just our hearts of surrender, right, of obedience to him. Just as the disciples went to get the donkey without even hesitation, right, are we responding to Jesus in obedience, whatever that may look like for us today? And just as the people laid down a red carpet of clothes, you know, of garments before him, do we respond with a red carpet, you know, of adoration, of just love and admiration for who he is? And I think also responding to Jesus with praise, right? Like in our lives, whatever we may face, circumstances that we endure, I think just the power of praise in and through every circumstance, saying, Hosanna, you are our King. You are the one who is rightful and victorious and gentle, and you come to us as King. Those are things that I think we can keep in mind as our response to Jesus in every day of our lives. And I think, you know, I want us to kind of think about what your response has been to Christ in different seasons of your life. For me, when I obeyed God's call to full-time ministry, it wasn't easy, and I had no idea what I was in for. I didn't know where I was going to be, and I would have never imagined that I would be here in Taiwan living here for 6 years now, but it was actually a difficult decision, right, that took probably over a year for me to actually say yes and respond because I was so stubborn and strong-willed. But looking back now, I can see how God's fingerprints were all over it, you know, and how he was working through that time even. And so I think we have to respond to Jesus in some way, right? It's either like this with obedience or with praise, or it's like the rest of the crowd that rejects him. And that's something I think we consider and that we're confronted with whenever we hear stories like this or the gospel, right? There's always a choice to respond to him. And I want us to just consider what that may be today and as we reflect on Easter and the coming week. No matter, you know, if you've been a Christian for a year or years, you know, growing up as a kid, or maybe you're new and just wondering, you know, who is this Jesus, to just see what is your response to this King who comes and who wants to really invite you in and have relationship with you. So I think, you know, we may not always know where we're headed in our relationship with God, but I think as we can consider what it looks like to invite him in and to have this heart that's surrendered and just be captivated by who he is, it's important to ask that, you know. And I want to ask us, what is Jesus saying to you today? What is he calling you to do that may require obedience, or just even to turn to him in praise or in thanksgiving and honoring who he is? And I pray that we can just grow in admiration of him all the more this week, especially. I don't want us to just like, you know, go have this week go by like any other week and you're like, okay, Sunday's great. You know, it's like the one holiday everybody comes to church for, and, you know, you invite people in, but to really take time and think about your relationship with Christ, even those around you that may not know him yet, and see even like Jesus with this triumphal entry, I think it's the same symbolic of how he wants to make a entry into our heart, you know, wherever we may be and however long we've known him for. If he reigns then, and if he reigns now, then he's going to reign in and through each and every one of us when he comes again. And so I just want to leave on that note of just, how do you respond to Jesus in your life? It's a very simple question. It's not anything huge or, you know, that is too deep, but how do you respond to Jesus in your life and in your heart today? And I believe that for many of us, it just requires this realness or this openness to him, whatever you may be facing, to look at him, that he wants to just make room in your life to have peace with him. So if I can just have the worship team come up and reflect on what Jesus may be saying to you of your response to him today. Let me just pray for us. God, I just thank you for this time, Lord. God, I pray that your word would just really take root in people's hearts, Lord, whatever that you want to speak to each and every one of us today, God. God, we praise you for who you are, that you came so with such praise and adoration. You came in power, but you also came humbly on the donkey to us, Lord. And we just have our hearts open to you even now, Lord, as we look to you. God, I pray that our hearts would be open to you, that you would even prepare us as we look at this week ahead, Lord, of what you may want to just show or reveal to us, Lord. And I just thank you, God, that we can be real before you, Lord, that we don't have to wear a mask or pretend or perform in any way, Lord, but that we can come to you as we are. I believe that you just want to release peace to many people in this place. that even we may know how majestic and how grand and awesome you are, but you just want to come and speak peace to people's hearts and minds even today. God, that you speak a word of comfort, of encouragement, of life. God, I pray that you would just help us respond to you. And we just make room for you to come in. We make room for you to come into our hearts. Even if we've said yes to you, God, that you've made a home in our hearts, God, we just say, come in and have your way. As we admire you, as we love you, we just come in. We love you so much, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.